Rosenberg, Alamosa, and Trinidad. Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Thanks for being here with us for our service this morning. The Lord has truly blessed us, of course, through his son Jesus dying for our sins and resurrecting and ascending into heaven, but also because we have the blessing of having a God who loves us throughout our lives. And he has a beautiful and marvelous way of guiding us and teaching us and bringing us to his salvation and holding us in it so that we don't stray away which we all tend to easily go away, but the Lord holds us, and his way of doing that is beautiful and blessed, and we thank him for it. Thanks for being here today for our service. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio or watching later online. Thanks for joining us. Wish you the Lord's blessings as well. This morning, our service begins with our hymn of invocation, which is hymn 497 in your hymnal, Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord, and we'll sing that together as a congregation, and we do invite you to please stand on the last verse of this hymn if you're able. Let's sing together hymn 497. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. we justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our intro this morning from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we may be called to repentance and made partakers of your heavenly treasures through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the prophet Ezekiel in the second chapter of his prophecy, verses 1 through 5. He said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the 123rd Psalm. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Epistle reading this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though, if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on 2 tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. This time we invite you to join us in singing our sermon hymn for this morning. It's hymn 839, O Christ, our true and only light. Let's sing together. Jesus, amen. Jesus comes to his old stomping grounds in his hometown of Nazareth, and what happens? Well, it turns out the people there knew him. They already had their own preconceived notions about who he was. So instead of seeing him for who he actually is, they question him in contempt, saying in verse 3, as the reading said, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Long and short of it, they were kept from the power in his true identity by their own conceptions of who they thought he was. Isn't that interesting? Verse 5. And he could do, it says, no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. But they're kept by their own preconceived notions and their own conception of who Jesus was. They're kept from being able to see him for who he is. How would you feel this morning if I told you the exact same thing happens to us? in our dealings with Jesus Christ, Son of God. We also have our own conceptions and preconceived notions of his identity. And since we didn't know Jesus as a kid or a youth like his parents did, and even like a tween or a teenager like the town of Nazareth did, we still have different ways of questioning him. As Christians, we know Jesus as God. And so, therefore, our questions for him have more to do with that reality. Why don't you bless me more? There's one of our questions in our prayers quite often. Why don't you give me what I pray for? Heard Paul explaining some of that in the reading from Corinthians. I want to be well. I want to be restored. I want to be healed. I want to be richer. Why haven't you done that for me? If you're really God. Or, here's another one. Why would you allow this to happen to me in my life? Don't you love me? The fact is who Jesus is. But we have our own ideas about Jesus based on who we think God should be. It's a lot like Nazareth and the situation that unfolded there. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of a yes day? A yes day. It's one of these days, right, where a parent tells their kid, like this predetermined day, that they won't say that dreaded word, no. So any reasonable request, the kids are going to get some ideas here, I'm sorry. Any reasonable request of the parent, or of the child, excuse me, gets the answer, yes. So they say, hey, can I go to McDonald's? Normally the parent would say, no. But now they have to say, this is the agreement for the day, yes. What about soda pop? Yes. What about two? Yes. What about 10? Yes. You're thinking, whoa, well, it's a yes day, see? The kids love these things. What's the parent's goal in a yes day? Love? To show love? Maybe it does, if it happens on occasion, right? If it was an everyday thing, no. But if it's like on a birthday or something like that, we could understand. Maybe there's even some grandparents here this morning thinking, I got an idea for when my grandkids come over next time. Yes day, and then send them back home all sugared up. Sounds fun. The reason I mention it this morning is for this reason. It perfectly describes how we want Jesus to act with us. We want a yes God, not a real God. We want a God who never says no, a genie in a lamp God who's always willing to grant our wishes. When we pray for what we want, we struggle a lot with the answer, no, or wait. We don't like those answers. Why is that? For the same reason the people in Nazareth can't see who Jesus really is that day in Mark chapter 6. They have their own idea of his identity. So they can't recognize him as their Messiah. They don't get to see his mighty power displayed in their town. And we also have our own concepts of who we think God should be. And subsequently, these preconceived notions keep us from his power in our lives as well. Simply put, we're not excited about a God who loves us enough to say no, or loves us enough to let us go through something that we don't want to go through. But rather, we look for in Jesus who we want God to be instead of who he reveals himself to be. And the result of it all? We miss him. Just like in Mark chapter 6. We never see him in our lives. Our questions for Jesus, they show sadly that we don't want Jesus for who he is. We want him to be the God we imagine he should be. And guess what that means? See, this is the weird part, right? Is it means that we want a yes, God, yeah. But it also means that our own ideas about God and who we think God should be to us, combined with our own sinful desires, guess what? We fashioned an idol in our own minds. As we think about God and who we think he should be and who we want him to be, we've actually made this idol instead of the one true God. We've got a God who always panders to us, who always gives us exactly what we want. And if he doesn't act the way that we're supposed to do, what do? We turn in on ourselves and say, how can I make that happen? This isn't the one true God. This is something that we've fabricated, this idea. We've got concepts of who we want God to be instead of hearing who God actually is from the scripture. We don't want a God that says no. We want a God who guarantees our comfort in our life. That's what we really want. Like, can we be honest about that? That's what we really want. We don't want the troubles. We don't want the issues. We don't want things to come up. We want it comfortable and easy. And then, when problems do show up in life, which of course they do, what do? Almost always, at least a thought goes through our minds and our hearts, the same thing that they did to Jesus in Nazareth. They take offense at him. They blame him. And it reveals that fact is, Jesus, you're really not living up to our expectations. You don't fit in with our preconceived notions. It's exactly what happened to him in his own hometown. See, there's a difference between who we want God to be and who we operate as if God is and what the Bible tells us about God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. It says, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son or daughter whom he receives. We don't want a God like that. No, see, we get it all figured out in our mind how this works, right? Jesus, would you just ignore our sins? Just don't pay attention to them, right? That way we can have our cake and we can eat it too, right? We just want you, Jesus, to not pay attention. That way we can satisfy our lusts every day and we can still get into heaven. That's how we get it all figured out. But let me ask you, is a yes God really the true and loving God that we need? No, he's not. We certainly wouldn't want anything to do with a God who would allow bad things to happen to us in our lives. But listen to what the Bible says. Isaiah 45, verse 7, thus saith the Lord, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. I know that this is a tough teaching. I totally get it. It's tough for me too. But we gotta be honest, right? It's difficult for us to believe in the God that the scripture reveals. We want God to fit our conceptions of him, our own little idol that we've manufactured of who we think God is, rather than the God who's actually in control, The God who actually is allowing things. It's difficult to learn this, but consider it a compliment that you're hearing it this morning, because God chose you to understand these mysteries that most people live their whole lives and never see or understand. He doesn't want us blind like the people of his hometown, but he wants us to learn as Christians who he really is, and that the powerful works he really does for us are not the same as the yes God. This is how we miss him, right? They're not the same as our idol that we've unknowingly created in our hearts and minds. God allows things we read about it in the epistle lesson. Where did the thorn in the flesh come from, according to the Apostle Paul? From God. God's actually in control. It's true. Has he sent you some troubles? See how hard this is to hear? It's incredible, isn't it? Has he allowed some troubles in your life? Would we say it's not him? Based on our own concepts and projections? You know what? God is actually big enough to handle this. He's actually big enough to handle how you feel about it too, and how I feel about it. Fact is, Jesus isn't who the people of Nazareth imagine him to be, and he isn't who you and I imagine him to be either. He is who he is. Pretty sure he said that to Moses that day, right? The day that Moses asked him for his name, thinking that God was like him. And God said, I am who I am. Truth is, God knows what's best for us. Oh, that's scary and hard to hear, I know, but it's true. There actually is a God, and he loves you, and he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you, and he is in control of everything that happens to you. Whew. I'm only doing that because I'm feeling it too, even as I'm saying it, right? Like, wow, can I trust him that much? Is that what faith is, actually? Is it the power that's not really been doing a lot for me because I can't see it because I've got my own idol and this false conception of God that I work with every day in the confines of my own mind? Have you ever been to a parking lot with a toddler? I bet you have. If you haven't, you could imagine what it's like, right? I have been there before with them. Usually, kids get excited when they get to go to the store, especially little toddlers, and often when they get out of the car, what do? They run off into the parking lot. And what has to happen? Mom or dad has to grab them. And you know what? Sometimes, when you have to grab them, you kind of grab them. You know what I mean? And you do it fast, and you do it quick, and actually, you're pretty strong. But it's dangerous in that parking lot. There's cars driving pretty fast. The toddler has no conception of the kind of danger that they're in this parking lot. They're going to the store. Friends, we have no conception of the danger that we're in this life. None. We're blind to it. And so, yes, at times, does God not have to grab us? Does he not have to grab us and pull us back? The image of the shepherd with the hook on the end of his staff, right? And be the good shepherd, the actual good shepherd, who actually loves us enough to let us deal with it, to show us the truth, to let us go through things, to allow hard things even. I mean, enough of this manufactured God of our own imagination who wouldn't let us learn anything, who doesn't even love us that much. That God is an idol. Flush it. The real God is in control of everything. And he does work hard to save us from the things we have no idea we're in danger of. We're so distracted by the world and all the things that it distracts us with that we forget about the biggest problem. Sin and the wages of it, death and eternal destruction. He loves us enough to grab us even this morning and pull us away from our idol, the false idea of God that we've had, and show us himself, a God who is in control of everything and a God who we can trust. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. He won't let you down. He didn't let Abraham down. When Abraham didn't even know where he was going. Go to a land I will show you, he says to Abraham. I say, what? He didn't let him down. He didn't let Moses down. When he told him to go into Egypt, to the Pharaoh. But he was there with him the whole time. He didn't let Israel down as they wandered through the deserts of Sinai. He didn't let David down, even though David sinned horribly against him. Took another man's wife and then had the man killed on the front lines in battle. Terrible, terrible sins. God never let him down. He prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And he didn't. He remained faithful to David as well, and he remains faithful to you and to me, and we can trust him in real life. Now we have to say, it's absolutely impossible for us to understand how each situation that comes to us in our lives is connected to God's work. We can't. In all those happenings of life, good or bad, we can't always see and delineate so clearly exactly how God's at work in it or what he's doing exactly. But we know he is, in some hidden way, using those things for us. As the promise in the scripture tells us that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. That's his promise that he's faithful to, and he won't let you down. And he'll actually guide us and teach us in our lives. We cannot discover the whys of what's happened to us in life, but we can realize that our questioning of God, our Nazareth-style hometown approach to Jesus, pretending that he's a yes God and nothing else, is not helpful for us at all. He remains in control over all things that come to us in our life, and he can see the bigger picture and the bigger purpose, bigger than we can. One pastor put it this way: the reason some things don't make sense to us that God does is that God doesn't exert his control in the way that you and I would. We heard it this morning in the liturgy. We've got preconceived notions about that, don't we? About how God's in control. But guess what? He doesn't control the way that we would. We'd control through power. We'd control with force. God controls through mercy, through forgiveness, through his love, through his receiving of us. The real God, Jesus, he's in control, friends. Not in the way that we think, but he's in control. So it's not going to add up why he might allow tough stuff to come to us. But we don't lean on our own understanding, right? We trust in the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and with all our heart. So this morning, who do you say Jesus is? Can you say along with him that he and the Father are one, and that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God? Can you trust him in real life, that no matter what comes your way, it was sent for your benefit, even if it's impossible to understand how? It's by faith that we can say, yes. Yes, we believe and know that we're forgiven and loved enough by the one true God to be taught We can rest assured every second of every day that as we live in this dangerous and sinful world, He is stronger. That Jesus, who died and rose again for us, remains in complete control, and nothing, and I mean nothing, friends, will ever snatch us out of His love and His hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. They're provided for you there on page 7 in the bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We bless you, O Lord, for you have heard the voices of our pleas for mercy and sent your Son, Jesus Christ, our strength and shield. Save your people, we pray. Bless your heritage forever. Lord, in your mercy. Send laborers into your harvest, O Lord. Preserve your ministers according to your mercy. Lord, those that are devoted to your word and to prayer. Give many servants, we pray, to your church, that neither the preaching nor the care of your people would fall into neglect or into disregard. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. Christ Jesus, your holy arm, by his death and resurrection, you have worked salvation. Strengthen the song of your church. Give skill to musicians, poets, artists. Give boldness to your congregations. Lord, that in every place we might sing eternally the new song of Christ and what he's done. Lord, recognizing your loving control and your care and your protection. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Oh Lord, soften the hearts of your people, we pray, in every home. Turn parents and children towards each other in love and patience. Banish the spirit of impudence and stubbornness and rebellion and false pride from your people. Sanctify us, Lord, in your truth. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, protect and defend our nation from its enemies, we pray. Support our leaders and preserve them from temptation. Through the work of all civil authorities, enable us to live a quiet and peaceful life according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. Father, in our weakness, we are strong. Lord Jesus, help us understand what that means. That when troubles come, you're using them somehow. And we trust you by faith and by the gift of the Spirit that you gave us. Lord, help us to see your victory through weakness. And give us grace sufficient for every need and comfort for those who are in pain and who are struggling with things. Lord, comfort those whose suffering is unknown, those who wrestle with difficulties, thorns in the flesh and body and mind, and who are tempted to despair or to blame you. Lord, help them. Be their strength and their shield. Show them your loving reign and kingdom. Lord, we're also asked to pray for people here at our church, and we bring them before you now, and we name them from the altar this morning. We name before you Frank Rendon, Joe and family, Lola Gates, Echo Webb and family, Lori Hauser, Sam Mestis, Cy Cavaletto, Isabel Cody, Julie Knoll, Ricky Luco, the Mitsukami family and the family of William Tanner, Emily Johnson and her family, Sean Austin, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord Jesus, in weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, let us boast in Christ and his cross, by which we and our sufferings are sanctified. Lord, in your mercy. Beautiful God, out of your abundant blessing, you satisfy us with Christ, the bread of life. Give repentance and faith to all who commune this day, that finding refuge in your Son's true body and blood, we may taste and see that you are good. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, dear Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we have the blessing of installing an officer from our voters meeting that was elected at our regular voters meeting a couple weeks ago. And we're actually installing a director. So just an adjustment there. The bulletin, it says officer. Technically, the officers of our church are only two of the directorships on planning council, but we are installing a director, a properties director, which is Katie Winters. Katie, would you come forward? Thanks so much for being willing to serve as properties director here at Trinity. You got installed, or you're going to get installed today, right after the lights are shining bright. Did you notice? Yeah, we're thankful for that today. I'm really blessed to have Katie willing to serve in this position, glad that she's willing to do it. So we're going to follow the rite of installation of servants of the congregation. So we will go through that, and it's short and sweet, and then we'll be all done. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you're here to serve the Lord, as is Katie Winters, to serve in a special position as properties director here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. Hear what the Holy Scriptures have to say about those who serve in the church. We read now from the book of Romans in the 12th chapter. By the grace given to me, I say to every one among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I install you, Katie Winters, as the properties director of Trinity Lutheran Church and School, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Would you turn and face the altar? O Lord God, visit Katie with your love and favor, enlighten her mind with the light of your gospel, and place in her heart a love of the truth, an increase in the true faith. Nourish her with your goodness and your great mercy as she serves our church and school as properties director, and keep her in your love, that she may be faithful in her service to you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. Thanks. You can go sit. Yay. Thank you, Katie. So thankful for Katie. So thankful for all the people who are serving and have served in these positions. Couldn't do it without you. We're blessed to witness this installation today. And we come to the time in our service where we have an opportunity to give back a portion of those blessings which the Lord so graciously provides us in our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, let's enjoy a piece of instrumental music from our organist.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, you truly provide for us in ways that are incredible. Lord, we're blessed and we thank you. This morning we lift these gifts and offerings to you, Lord, and we pray that you use them, that people would hear of your love and your forgiveness.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden campaigning in Philadelphia, telling a church audience,
"You know, I've been doing this a long time.